Hi, this is Josh Fonger, and welcome to the WTS podcast, where we help business owners move from owning a job to owning a business, mastering their systems so they can simplify growth and make more and work less. And today I have a special guest I'm really excited about, Amber De La Garza. Amber is the productivity specialist. She is a sought-after coach, trainer, speaker, writer, and the host of the Productivity Straight Talk podcast and creator of Stop, the Entrepreneur's Success Solution, which we'll be diving into today. I'm pretty excited about. She helps driven entrepreneurs execute actionable solutions to maximize profits, reduce stress, and make more time for what matters most. All right, Amber, so let's get started from the beginning. What's your story? How did you get into this productivity line of work?
Yes. All right. Thank you for having me here. I actually get that question a lot because I don't think many people wake up super excited about productivity. Mm-hmm. So they always wonder, how did you get here? Well, I actually started my career previously to this was in the real estate industry. Mm-hmm. And it started way back actually in high school. I was passionate about real estate and I seeked out an opportunity to intern one day a week and go to school 4 days a week.
Okay.
And within that, right after high school, I got licensed. I went to college and I got my degree in real estate and business management. So fast forward after college, I had worked all through college in different real estate offices, multiple different positions, and I hated selling real estate. So I was hugely invested. I had all this time. So I asked myself, you know, what am I passionate about? Where am I naturally get really excited? And it was definitely the back end, the operations, the systems, training, coaching. So I asked for a meeting with the CEO of a local, very large real estate company. We had 1,200 real estate agents, the CEO, because that's what every young 20-year-old does, right? So he was gracious enough to take the meeting. And I told him what my desires were, what I was passionate about. And I was clear that I didn't have experience. So I asked him to start me anywhere and I'd prove myself. And he took me up on that. He started me second over receptionist. And I worked my way up. And within 6 months, I was promoted. And within a year, I was actually coaching. They had a coaching division. And I was promoted to the team building manager. And I did business coaching for top sales executives within our organization. Mm-hmm. And it was there that the seed was planted for what I do today. Mm-hmm. The struggle was real. We had amazing business systems and processes and coaching, but my clients kept coming back to me with the same issues. And Josh, I'm sure you probably hear this in your line of work.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I am so busy. I'm out of time. I'm overwhelmed. I'm too busy working in my business to work on my business. And because I knew that there is such a huge gap that they literally had at their fingertips these systems and processes, and but they couldn't take advantage of it because they couldn't manage themselves and their own time. And that seed, fast forward, I stayed with the company for 12 years in various positions. But 6 years ago, I started my own company for personal productivity for entrepreneurs to bridge that gap because I believe, and I'm on a mission to share this with anyone that will listen, that personal productivity is a skill set that can be learned by anybody. And it's a skill set that when missing, it makes entrepreneurship really, really difficult when it doesn't need to be.
Yeah. And you can have all the systems in the world, but if you can't execute on them or use them, then what's the purpose, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I saw that literally they needed these systems, right? So I love that you and I are having this conversation. Like the freedom in these systems and processes were like right at their fingertips, but they were getting in their own way. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like how you and I collide here together. I've had you on my podcast and now I'm here on yours. Is it's such a great partnership in that I truly believe we need both.
Right. And it's one of the best ways to get ROI out of training is that if you're going to invest in yourself and be more productive, you're going to instantly see the results, and compared to your employees, they might go, but you're going to always be there.
Yes. So
you might as well work on yourself. I had a discussion with my son about that this morning. I said, this is going to be your body the rest of your life. We're going to the gym. So you should get better at managing and maintaining it because no one else will.
That's right. Nobody else is going to jump in and be your biggest cheerleader. You got to do it for yourself for sure. Yeah.
Well, let's jump in. So you have this Entrepreneur's Success Solution. What is that all about and how could that benefit our listeners?
Yeah, so it's called STOP because it's based on four main pillars of personal productivity for entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And it's S for self, T for time, O for organization and P for people. And I believe that if you have these four pillars working for you, that you can be an unstoppable, really, machine yourself personally. And then if you want to, I don't know how much you want to dive into each of the pillars.
Each one, definitely. Awesome. Yeah. I'm taking notes.
Okay, great. So first and foremost, it needs to be said that we are always going to start with ourselves because mindset. So number one is mindset. Okay. I truly believe that we can have, again, processes and systems and people, and you can have all three pillars, other pillars. You can be so organized and efficient. But if your mindset isn't right about your relationship with what true productivity is and your success, you're going to sabotage yourself every single day and every single time.
What does that look like, the sabotage?
Oh my gosh. Making deadlines with yourself that you continually negotiate and, you know, you say, oh, well, that might be good enough, or maybe I'll get it done next week or the week after. You schedule time blocks on your schedule to do important work, like your most productive work, and you don't show up for yourself. You have conversations with yourself like you aren't good enough, you have imposter syndrome, you're not showing up the way in which you really intended to show up for yourself, your clients, your business. I mean, honestly, this is like countless ways that we could really just single-handedly have conversations that will literally sabotage our success. I think that one major one to note that I think a lot of listeners will be able to resonate is, when was the last time you took an audit to ask yourself, how many times a day do you say, I don't have enough time? Mm-hmm. Like, that is an affirmation, and it's a belief, and it's a relationship between you and time that you're literally affirming over and over that you don't have enough time. And so one of the ways that I counteract that is with an affirmation that says, I always have enough time for what matters most.
Perfect.
Yeah. And so I say that because then I'm taking on the responsibility to first identify what matters most, right? So it's not just an affirmation that's kind of like, oh yeah, that sounds good. No, for this to be true, I truly need to know what matters most. And then having confidence that I will make the time, I will find the time, I will dedicate the time for those things that matter most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is very good. And it's odd. Same thing with my clients as yours. I'm sure that they get comfortable in a certain situation, even if the situation is not a good one, you know, it's a dysfunctional one, and they're just used to it. They're comfortable with it, and their mindset got them there, and they really do need to change the way they think. And I like this affirmation, and affirmations actually have to be true. And so if it's true, then it's more powerful. And this one is. And so I have a similar one. I think I may have shared it with you, but basically, there's time enough, but none to spare. And I got that from somebody, but there is enough time to do whatever you need to do, but there's no extra time. So you have to really be careful, you know, good steward of what you have. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's time, money, talent, resources, connections, there's enough for to do what you need to do so you can be successful. So my whole thing is every day can be successful, but, you know, as long as you manage it properly, I guess is the key.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I love that you shared that, Josh, about that affirmations need to be true. Because when I first heard about affirmations long, long time ago, I was like, those are so cheesy. Yes. That's corny. And literally, if you're putting someone's words in your mouth, yeah, it sounds cheesy. Mm-hmm. But I do teach an 8-step process on how to create affirmations that are backed into from your goal. So how do you take your goal and flip it into affirmations that you're creating and saying on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. Josh, how old was your son that you were mentioning?
13. Yeah, he's 13. We were at the gym this morning.
Oh, that's so awesome. I can't wait till my son's 13. So he's 8. Mm-hmm. And when I first started my podcast, he was 6. And he, maybe like your son, like when you are an entrepreneur, like your kids are literally like seeing you and watching you, and they're like all around. And so I've actually done affirmations with my son since he started first grade. And he wanted to be a guest on my podcast. And so I had him as a guest expert sharing his affirmations, why they're important, how did he create them, and how did they affect his days? And Slam Dunk is like one of my most downloaded episodes because it's such the unexpected. He was 6 years old and it's in his little voice. And we just kind of back into how did we create goals that he had? Like at that time, he was learning to read. And so one of his affirmations is that I can easily read. And why did we go from the goal of I can read to saying affirmations and having a belief that I can read? And then, but we can do that ourselves in business. You know, mm-hmm. there's so many things that our goals are right there past us, but there's a disconnect in the belief and who we need to be. And so how can we affirm those?
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Powerful. I like that one. So next one, because we have so much to get through. Time. So time's the next one on your list. What is the key to that?
Yeah. Okay. So time. So each of my pillars have like three main modules to them. Okay. So we touched on one in obviously self. So time, one of them in that is a power planner. How do you leverage planning your days, your weeks, your quarters, and your years mm-hmm. to go from reactive, which I know you work with business owners every day. So how do we go from reactive to proactive? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we get ourselves out of the firefighter method of just putting fires out every single day? And I think that a huge key to that is planning our time. And so we dive deep into, yeah, I get it. Most days don't go as planned, right, Josh? I don't know about you, but Murphy shows up when you expect, you don't want him to show up. And so, but I can guarantee that when we plan our days, that our days are more intentional and they do go more as we intended than if we just get up and feel like, okay, what are we doing today? And what's getting our attention? And really that's what we're waiting for is like, what email's gonna, you know, get our attention, what phone call, what client, what little urgency or crisis versus you're laying the train tracks mm-hmm. and you know where to get back to when you do get pulled off, because you will. Mm-hmm. What is that train track set for the day and how are you planning it?
Interesting. I got a kind of a side question for you. Some of my clients recently, we've been planning out buffer time. So just the reality that yes, you have all these core things and yes, you're going to use your calendar properly and use your biological prime time, a bunch of things, but the reality is things won't work out. There's going to be things are going to come up. And so if you plan too tightly, it actually is less functional than having the buffer spaces for the realities of your business. And some businesses have lots of unknowns and other ones are more controlled, but you just have to plan those. Do you do that?
Oh my gosh. My eyes lit up when you said that. So I call it white space. And okay. I say white space is your friend. One of my tips to actually making time block work. And when I say actually, because I think almost everyone has tried time blocking at some point or another and says it doesn't work or they haven't had great experiences, or they're on the other side and they're like, I live and die by time blocking. Huh? And the difference that I found by the people that are like, yeah, it doesn't work. And the people that said, oh my gosh, it's one of the biggest reasons I'm so successful with time is that they literally have white space on their schedule.
Okay.
So do you remember that game that has all the little numbers and it's a little box and there's one missing box and you have to move all the numbers in the right order and there's only one missing box? It's a little kid's game. I always forget the name of it. But anyways, you scramble all the numbers and you're trying to get them in the right order, but there's only one missing box. And the key is that you're strategically trying to figure out how to move all the pieces around. Well, the key is that there's a missing box. And what we do with our time is literally try to fill up every box. And then when we have to move stuff around or the day goes unexpected, we're like, oh my gosh, like there's no way to move that meeting. There's no way to like a meeting ran late. And now it literally sets your entire rest of the day off course. Mm-hmm. So anyways, white space, I couldn't agree with you more, is the key to making block scheduling work.
Good.
And I think that, and Josh, also, I think that it also has to do with like, we're humans. Like when we're planning our day, you got to think we're in our most optimistic time, right? So we're like, oh my gosh, that task is going to take us 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And what if you get a headache? Or what if that task was not estimated right and it really took you an hour, right? So now you've got to decide, am I going to stop and it's a halfway done task? Or can you look at your schedule and say, oh my gosh, nope, I got some white space. I'm going to use some of that white space to finish this project to the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great. I do kind of it's a variation on this with any task that is someone's procrastinating on, mm-hmm. and say it's a half hour task. Then I'll say, okay, so the next week, let's block out an hour for it because you say half hour, so let's block out an hour. And if it doesn't get done that week, then so, okay, next week, we're going to block out 2 hours to get that task done. We're going to block out so much time that it's insane for you not to finish this particular thing that you say will take you a half hour up until the point it gets done. Because one of the elements I found for procrastination is that they feel like they don't have enough time to start and finish that particular mini project. So they just don't start at all. And so I kind of always, I just expand it. All right. So next one is organization. I know we're just kind of highlighting some of these ones, but I want to get to the pillars. So what is organization? What's the key highlight there?
So organization includes like your spatial organization. So like our desks and our paper, but it also includes digital organization. And then also business systems. So this is where I throw in business systems. So this is, I know this is your jam. But I do want to highlight just organization in general, whether it's physical space or actually all three, whether it's physical space, digital, or business systems. I want to be really clear that I don't think organization is the same as being productive. And I think that a lot of people kind of lump those together. And I just want to make, let me define how I define productivity. So the way that I go about productivity, how I define it, is it's investing your best time into your best activities. Okay. Now, with that being said, and being able to lay that over your business or your personal goals, what really any goals, is that what makes that true is that it's not the same as organization, because organizing your desk isn't always your best activity. It probably never is your best activity. But why I think it's such a supporting role in us being our most productive selves is that if you find that you don't have enough time to invest in your best and highest value activities, but you're looking for lost emails or missing papers or your keys to get out the door, then there's a problem with where you're allocating your time. And so I think it's really, really important. And then another note to you is if you're wasting so much time in inefficient systems or processes or duplicating steps, there's so much time that can be found in business systems. So I see business systems and organization as very, very similar in the fact that you're looking to be your most efficient self. So that, and then where I come in, so that you can take that time and invest it in your high value activities. So as a CEO or a business owner, it's either going to be, depending on how big your company is, leading your team and being a true leader so that everybody can do their thing. It's probably going to be something in either visibility or marketing, like getting your brand and your company out there, or it's literally sales, right? Because you and I would be out of business if we had no sales. And so that literally clearly tells us that's got to be our highest value activity is having sales conversations until we've hired somebody else to have those conversations. Josh, but in my experience, people say, I don't have enough time. I can't get on the phones, or I don't have time to go to those lunch meetings or that networking event. Well, if you're wasting it with inefficient business systems and looking for lost things, there's something wrong in your prioritizing of your time.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it seems to be one of those things that entrepreneurs really struggle with. And so and I'm just curious about a tip. So let's just say you have a client who, you know, their desk is a mess and they're losing emails and they're just having a hard time, but they're brilliant, right? They've been successful in the company. Do you ever try to involve a personal assistant, either virtually or physically, in their office to kind of help them? Because you just know it's better to pay someone $25 an hour to do this than for them to figure it out themselves.
Yeah. I do think that there's definitely a place for that, but ultimately I think it needs to be collaborative because you're creating systems. So organization in itself is a system. Like, where do you put the thing? Everything needs a home. And if someone's putting something in a home, it may look pretty and your desk is cleaned, but it kind of defeats the purpose of when you need the thing, do you know where to find it?
Right.
And so I think that if it is going to be someone that's going to help you, say you have piles of paper and this is a matter of getting all the piles of paper organized and in a place, then collaborate, come up with a simple system that you know how to retrieve it. And then most importantly, and I'm sure that you teach this too, is that a system is great, but it breaks if there's not a maintenance plan. And so the same thing is true with organization is like, I can teach you to get your inbox of, you know, 5,000 emails under control. But if you don't create the maintenance plan, you're going to be right back there very, very soon. And so a simple maintenance plan, and that is mostly your responsibility. If it's your mess and your desk, like it's going to take you taking 10 minutes at the end of the day to put everything back where it belongs. That's the maintenance plan.
Right, but it's much easier to maintain than to build it up from scratch.
Yes, and so definitely outsourcing and finding people where that's their zone. Mm-hmm. Also, I have found that, and I'm sure this is you, Josh, like people just think in systems, like that's their zone of genius. Mm-hmm. And so lean on that for them to create the system that seems impossible to you, because that might not even be remotely the way your head thinks, and then work together on what that maintenance plan is.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Well, last one on the list here, and then we'll get to all these other questions I have, is the people part. So we have self, time, organization, and then people.
People. Yeah. All right. So this is one of my favorites. If you would have asked me to create this methodology 4 years ago, I probably wouldn't have had people, because I thought I could do it all myself. And and I was organized and efficient enough, and I had systems. But here's the deal: with real success and real scaling, you have to have people in your corner. Mm-hmm. And so I break people down into having three types of people. The first one is your dream team. Like, who do you need on your payroll or as a consultant to really help you create the goals that you want for your business? The second category is called your trusted advisory council. All right. So these are people that you go to when you are up against a wall, that you may not have expertise in a certain area. So these are people like your mentors, your coaches, a mastermind group, your peers. Like, who do you go to? It's kind of like creating your own little board of directors of who you'd go to ask for help. And I have found that, you know, well, I just know, but I'm not great at everything, right? And so there's some people that I have in my world that I'm like, oh my gosh, you're brilliant. Like one phone call and it can leap me forward to where I need to go. So I think surrounding yourself with your advisory council is a great way to improve your success and improve your productivity, so you're not trying to grind it out yourself. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, oh, go ahead.
No, I want to hear the last one.
Okay. And lastly, I call it your posse. And your posse are your friends and your family and the people that help you at home. So this could be a housekeeper or a nanny or a personal assistant. Who do you have in your personal life that lets you show up and focus your time and energy in your work, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and when you have those hard days where your mindset's playing tricks on you and maybe you failed and your launch didn't go, or your new product didn't, you know, sell as much as you wanted it to, like, who are you going to go to that's going to make sure that you hit the ground running again sooner than later? Because that's a very productive move, because some of us can get stuck in that, oh my gosh, it was such a bad fail. Like, that really hurt. I don't know if I'm going to get back at it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's interesting. So dream team, trusted advisor, posse, and you get those. And then in terms of using your systems, because mm-hmm. I'm a systems guy, which of those folks would actually follow processes that you develop?
Your dream team.
Dream team. Okay.
Yep. So your dream team is either creating systems with you, or the systems you have, you're hiring to execute on those systems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So let's do like a live scenario, and because you know real estate, we'll just stay in that arena. So you have a realtor, they've been doing it for 10 years, they're experienced, they have a database. Yeah, but they can't get beyond a certain, let's just say a certain ceiling. So let's just say they make $100,000 a year. They can't get beyond that. They can't afford to be less than that. And they're just feeling like they're stuck. They hit a plateau. What would be the, what do you do with someone like that?
Yeah. All right. So that's so funny. You utilized like the key goal that every realtor has is 100,000, and it's a huge sticking point plateau. So that was a great example. All right, so I'm going to give you a real life example. It's one of my clients. His name is Avi. His name still is Avi, but so his name is Avi. And oh my gosh, like he's top, I think one or two in his company in sales, really knocking it out of the park. But he felt like he had so much more to offer. And so his issue was that he was told to do business as everyone else is doing business. Like there's a certain way to lead generate. Mm-hmm. There's a certain way to show up. That certain way, like door knocking and calling and getting on the phones, just didn't feel right to him. Mm-hmm. So what I worked with him on is identifying his most productive activity. And again, Josh, remember I was mentioning like your most productive activity is either, for me, I believe they fall in buckets, but a couple of the buckets is either marketing / visibility. So letting people know. So for him, he needs to let people know he's in real estate, or having sales conversations, actually asking for the listing or asking to represent them in the buyer. And so I got to know him and we realized that he absolutely loved having coffee with people. Mm-hmm. Like that was his thing. But he had never heard any really, really successful real estate agent that had just nailed it by having coffee sessions. And I was like, but that's what you love. And people mm-hmm. love having coffee with you. Mm-hmm. So we literally worked on all of the four pillars about what did he need in his business to make possible that he was having coffee meetings on a regular basis and on a purpose. Mm-hmm. So much so that in his social media, he now has a link that says schedule a coffee meeting with Avi. And he'll go and he'll sit down and he'll have coffee. But there was a lot of things holding him back from that, right? Like transactions needed to be dealt with, the escrows needed to be dealt with. He needed all these things handled. And so it took hiring the right people so that he could stay in his zone of having coffee on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. We worked on his mindset, right? Like giving him permission to show up in his best self. So there wasn't as much resistance. Like when you lean into the thing you're good at, it's amazing how much less resistance there is, right? So we worked on mindset. The time is we were proactive. Like I showed him how to schedule it, put it on his calendar, make sure that his job is now not just to sell real estate, but to fill up his calendar for these coffee dates. And we knew that if he filled up his calendar for these coffee dates, everything else worked out because he would organically have conversations, referrals would be sent to him, they'd talk real estate, right? Mm-hmm. And then organization. So the O was handled because he now had a business system where it's all automated. People can literally click on a button mm-hmm. and schedule it with them. So we tackled all of them. So we tackled self and mindset and time and organization, and then him hiring a high level executive assistant that can handle so much of what was really taking up a lot of his time. Mm-hmm. There's an example.
Yeah, no, that's a great example. And that's a perfect situation to be more productive if you're the one selling. I've got another client, same thing. The whole thing for her growth strategy is more coffee meetings.
Oh, really? That's
yes.
Yes.
She works with realtors, but she's a home stager, right? So home yes. staging business. And so that's the best way to make those connections. So
it really is. And for people that are extroverts and that enjoy and get that energy off of it, that literally fuels their fire. And yet they've been told by other people, no, maybe it's like grinding it out, it's doing this strategy or that strategy. So I just love that we combine leaning into your zone of genius, rather, like where you're great at, but creating a whole process and system around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like you have the support structure to fill in the gaps that he's not doing all of the paperwork that actually needs to get done, but he doesn't have to do it himself.
Yes.
Making that alignment.
Yes. Well,
so here's a different question for you. So you work with entrepreneurs and people listening to this probably think, well, this sounds pretty simple, right? So organization and people and stuff like that. Why don't people do it themselves? Like, so what is the reason why they don't just grab onto this and then take action? Is there kind of a stumbling block for them?
Yeah, well, you know, it's taken me years of one-on-one coaching and consulting to create this really elegant framework that I just shared with you, right? And I just gave you pieces. And I love productivity. So just think, like, I think that people, business owners, is when they hear it, it sounds like, yes, I need that. But they're not sitting at their kitchen table or at their desk saying, I need to get myself under control. I need, you know, time and all these things and organization. And so for me, I think that it's a matter of, it sounds right, but they need someone to partner with them to show them, or maybe it's my book in the future, by the way. So there's some external accountability. Uh-huh. Like they need the framework to say, yes, I'm plugging into that. And yes, I'm going to level up on all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then I suppose in any activity, you think of sports pretty easily, people might know how to improve in a certain sport, but if they have a coach there to get them over some of the sticking points, they'll get so much farther.
Yes.
So I've got, time is going fast. Okay, a couple more key questions. So you have this list of 10 ways you're screwing up your productivity. And yes. Of course, we're not going to have time to go through all 10 ways. But let's just say, so you know the audience, the entrepreneurs are trying to be more productive. What are a couple that you think would be worth highlighting with limited time?
Yes. So I have 10 ways you're screwing your productivity and might not even know it, right? So mm-hmm. these are things that we're doing that we think are actually helping us and they're not. So knowing your audience, and our audiences are very similar, I'm going to say, let's chat about pushing past your breaking points.
Okay.
Okay. So pushing back past your breaking points means you're not taking breaks. like not just not daily, like you're not eating, but you're not taking vacations. You're not maybe taking your 3-day weekends to rejuvenate and recalibrate and connect with your family. I think that a lot of people have the understanding that productivity is more, or being productive is doing more, working longer hours, and it's not true. Like I am, if you needed permission, I don't know if you're listening, if you just needed like someone to tell you, like it is more than okay to take breaks. In fact, it's sometimes the most productive thing you can do is take a break. Mm-hmm. And one of the tricks that I share is to literally schedule it on your calendar. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about white space, right, Josh? Well, how about like lunch space? Like 30 minutes that you know cannot be scheduled over or scheduled into. And even further, a trick, I block out an hour knowing that I'm going to take at least 30 minutes. Because if you and I are chatting and it runs over 10 minutes and I only scheduled 30-minute lunch, now I just cheated myself out of lunch. Mm-hmm. So I schedule an hour knowing that at the least I'm getting 30 minutes and on a great day I get an hour. Uh-huh. I need that. You need that to literally step away and focus and re-energize yourself. And also, it's a great opportunity to throw in some really great positive habits, like going for a walk, drinking your water, eating a healthy meal, if just once a day. So I think breaks are just underrated, and they can have such an impact on our lives and our businesses.
Oh yeah, you get your best ideas during your breaks sometimes. So you kind of need that space.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this methodology that I'm sharing with you, I traveled 6 of the 8 weeks this summer. Mm-hmm. And this thing has been literally rattling around in my head for years. And it took me disconnecting from my business, getting on airplanes, traveling, like getting out from the day to day to get it out of my head. It was the best thing in the world. And in fact, what I think I'll find is that was probably the most productive use of my time. Because I've created a keynote from this methodology. It may be a book in the future. It's a group coaching program. Mm-hmm. None of that happened grinding out behind my computer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Stepping away. That's good.
Stepping away. Absolutely.
So that's a list. And for those listening, that list is on your website too, right? So we're not going to go through all 10, but they can go to your website. What's the website?
It's going to be theproductivityspecialist.com/screw, S-C-R-E-W.
Screw. Okay.
The download.
Okay. So yeah, you can go there and get all 10, and I'm reading through them now and they're great. And you should definitely go through. Not that you have all of them, but chances are you have a lot of these are hurting you right now. Well, good. Okay. So two final questions. Well, maybe three. Actually, is changing someone's productivity more mental or more mechanical, would you say? So if someone wants to be more productive, is it a mental thing or is it a mechanical thing that they really need to work on?
Mental. And if you would have asked me when I first got into the game of productivity, I thought, oh, it's about organization and it's about having the right systems. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee being in and out of hundreds of different businesses in different industries, it is a mental. And so I got to tell you, my son was in my office and I had a client walk by. I used to rent office space. Now I'm working out of my house. Huh? My son had his earphones on. He hears me talking to this lady and he takes his earphones off and he leans in. He says, productivity is a choice. It's a choice we make every day. I guarantee, he had iPad in front of him. He's geeking out with his headphones. And I was like, oh my gosh. And guess what? He came up with that because he's literally heard me say versions of that so many times and leave it to a kid to succinctly say it the right way. Productivity is a choice and it's a choice we make every day. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I think it's 100% mental because you can have organization around you. You can have systems around you. You can have the right people around you. But at the end of the day, you have to make a choice of where you're going to invest your time and whether it's going to be a productive investment or a busy investment.
So get your mind right first, and then the down the line will be the mechanical pieces, right? Get
those so not to disagree with you, but I think the mental is every single day we're working on it, right? Uh-huh. Like, so yes, mechanical, and yes, you need all these things can help you that we've talked about today in the stop pillars. But every time someone shared with me, new level, new devil. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to hit up a new success or you're going to have a new system that you implement and things are going to come up for you. it's continually working on that mindset to make that choice every day.
And so you keep mentioning the everyday piece. So is it one of those things where if I totally get it, I go to a conference, I'm gung-ho, and then the next day, though, it could be start from square one every morning. Is that one of those things?
Yes, because just because you have knowledge doesn't mean that you're taking action on that knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. And so some days I wake up really optimistic and in a great mood to like slay my goals. And I don't know about you, Josh, but some days it takes a lot of self-talk to like do the thing. And so I think it is a choice. And for some of us, it's a choice that has to be made more than once a day, right? Like okay. Mid-afternoon, you're low on energy, you're tempted to get on Facebook or do all the things. But what are you going to do with your time? And it ultimately comes down with your choice.
So you're a podcaster. You do a lot of podcasts, talk to a lot of experts about a lot of things. Any nuggets of wisdom you've had from past guests you think would be relevant to our audience that kind of stick out to you as important?
Oh my goodness. This one is going to put me on the spot. I have had the pleasure of interviewing so many different people. And I actually selfishly use my podcast as a platform to invite people that I want to have really cool conversations with. Uh-huh. So I learn something every single time. I'm going to think about probably maybe the most recent one. I'm just going to go with recency, probably not the best nugget. I don't know. Maybe it is. I just interviewed a lady. She owns Priority VA. Her name is Trevinia.
Okay.
And she was sharing with me the 4E, like a framework on how to really get the most out of your employees, how to build that relationship. So it was, I'm going to see if I get this right. So it was empowering them, mm-hmm. equipping them. Oh my gosh, totally on the spot, Josh.
I know. evaluating one?
It was evaluate. And there was another E in there, but in the moment, and I have my notes and I'll go through them to actually implement, but she really broke it down into these 4 E's that I'm like, yes, like it's important to not just make the right hire, but it's important to really always be investing and setting them up for success so that the business can grow. Uh-huh. So I know them because I'm going to look at my notes, but if you want more, you can listen to the podcast episode. That's what I'll leave it with, Josh.
Well, definitely. Well, that's good. Yeah. And what was the name of that? Which podcast would that be?
It's her name is Trevinia and she owns Priority VA and hers will be out in about 3 weeks. So
we'll okay. Well, probably when this one comes out, probably the same time.
All right. Awesome. Awesome.
One question and then we'll go to the wrap up. So I was on your website. I was playing around with it and looking at some different things. And there was an article that caught my eye. It was on information overload or content obesity. Yeah. And every once in a while, I talk to my clients about this. But what is your take on that? And how do you deal with this ever-increasing amount of information?
Yes. Okay. Well, in a nutshell, I believe that we should truly honor who we let in between our ears, not just through podcasts, but like, what are we reading? What are we consuming? What books are we reading? I think that some of us can get, and I've done this in the past too, is that we get into information collection. Like we just want more information to go do the thing. And it's from different people. And what happens is it becomes overwhelming because I'm going to have a way that I'm productive. And then you're going to go listen to the next person and the next person and the next person. And you're getting pieces of it. And you're in your head trying to make all the pieces match or fit together. But what if like we don't agree on one thing and you're literally making it harder than you need to be by following multiple people on the same topic. So this is just one part of information obesity. We get it from everywhere, but this is the one where I think people are out there seeking advice and information and they're consuming it and then they feel stuck because they're overwhelmed. My recommendation is that yes, go sample it like you're sitting at the bar, get your sampler. But when you find somebody that you truly feel like has your best interest, that is knowledgeable, that you think knows what they're talking about, then shut the rest down and listen to that person and take action. Mm-hmm. And when I shared this on my podcast, I was like, and if I'm not that person for you, go ahead and hit unsubscribe. Like I'm okay with that because I'm all about action taking, mm-hmm. but I'm confident that I know my stuff, that I'm giving valuable information, and that I'm able to give them information they can take action on. So I kind of fit all those criteria. So I'm thinking, okay, but what if you're listening to other people and now you're like, I don't know which one to do. I don't know what to do. She says do this. That person says do that. And then nothing happens, Josh. And yes. I think you're laughing because you know what I mean,
yeah.
right?
All the time, yeah.
And so that's my advice. Shut them down. Pick your person for that topic that you're trying to get information on, get the information you need, and then shut me down. Like, if I'm giving you the information, shut it down, go take action. Come back, get more information, go take action.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You don't want a constant flow of ideas. And the thing is, a lot of ideas from a lot of, you know, if you're getting expert information from people who are billionaires, and they're celebrities, the ideas they're telling you oftentimes have nothing to do with what your reality is. And so you could be getting the worst advice ever, maybe great for a multimillionaire or a celebrity, but has nothing to do with their particular need right now. And so I find that the most with my clients is they have ideas, but they're the ideas that are worst for them at this time. You know, they're not going to help them. And so it's about kind of getting rid of all that clutter that's in their brain and just sticking with what's essential for their business right now. And I mean, you've kind of hit on it too, is that you want to go to someone credible. Like, so much of the information that's out there these days is not even written by the person who the picture's on it. You know, it's written by another writer who's maybe 18 years old and just putting together 10 articles a day. And that's a lot of the content, and it's not really that useful.
Yes.
But it has a good title and it's catchy.
Yeah, I think we should be ruthless with who we let between our ears, because our time is so finite, right? And I think education is powerful, but I think vetting who you're getting that information from is essential to making sure that you're getting advice that's actionable, and that when you try it, you're getting results. Because there's nothing more frustrating than taking action, like you said, from a celebrity or something that either worked for them so long ago or works for them with the resources they have now.
Right.
And then you're like, what's wrong with me?
Yep.
And then we're back in the same cycle again. And we don't need that. We don't need any more of that at all.
Yep. Oh yeah, definitely. So advice specific to exactly what you need when you need it. Everything else is just a distraction.
Yes. Right?
It's infotainment. Well, good. So I wish we could talk longer, but I know you've got to run. So what's the one thing you want to leave the audience with, our audience? You can kind of wrap up, you know, where can they find you? What do you want to leave them with?
Yeah. So with your permission, I'm going to end it the same way I end my podcast. No change, no change. Without taking action, nothing will change for you or your business. So based on what you heard Jeff and I chatting about today, I'm sure you got a few ahas. Well, what is the one thing that you're committed to taking action on? And that's all that matters, because the rest was great. But I think Josh and I agree that we want this to be the most valuable, useful use of your time. And taking action would probably be the best way of showing Josh and I that we're giving some great content. So go change, take a change, take action, and get the results.
Perfect. All right. Couldn't agree more. So thanks, Amber, for sharing your wisdom. I learned a lot. I took a mountain of notes here. It's all great stuff. And I'll just do one of them, though. Just one, like you said.
Yes.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in today to the Work System Podcast. I look forward to sharing another podcast with you all next week when you grow your business with systems so you can make more and work less. All right. Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Amber.
Bye.